Sermon, Walk in the Light. Nîmes, France, October 18, 1886. October 18, 1886, 8 p.m. Sermon at Nîmes. Text, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. John 14, verse 21. Here we have our duty defined, and are told that if we keep the commandments, we shall be loved of the Father. When those who claim to love God do not keep the 10 precepts, it is evidence that the love of God does not dwell within them. The light of truth is permitted to shine that we may know our duty. The question is, shall we follow the light, or shall we walk in darkness? Christ has told us that if we follow the world, we are not His. Why is it that we do not love the truth? It is because it cuts across our pathway. Our precious Savior came to this world to bring blessing to us. He left His seat in glory to lift man from his fallen condition. Oh, that we would appreciate His great sacrifice! While here He was met by the archenemy, the adversary of souls, and He resisted His temptations. Christ did not leave His seat of glory to mingle with the rich and great men of the earth, for they would not receive His instructions. But He chose the poor, who were willing to receive Him. There were some rich who did believe, but were unwilling openly to acknowledge Christ. We find in our day men of wealth, men the world call great, who, if the message for this time were presented to them, would turn from it because of the cross. God does not design to leave us in error, but sends us messages of mercy that we may have eternal life. Shall we accept or reject? In Christ's day, how few realized the great privilege they might have enjoyed. The infinite God gave His Son, the most exalted gift that could be given, but it was not appreciated in that day. And while our Savior tried to gain an entrance to hearts, they would not let Him in. They knew not that they had the majesty of heaven in their midst. When He saw the stubbornness of their hearts, He wept over Jerusalem, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. Luke 19, verse 41. The reason they rejected Christ was because the customs and practices had more weight with them than the precious boon that Christ came to bring them. The same thing is acted over in our day. Light is sent us from heaven. Will we reject or receive it? It is our privilege to gather up the rays of light, and the more we seek for it, the more the light will increase. Could our eyes be opened, we could see angels from heaven interested in our salvation, and again, we should see the adversary of souls scattering darkness. All heaven is interested in the children of men. Angels are watching us and are bearing tidings to heaven of our dangers, and they are constantly drawing us to Christ. Our safety is in taking hold of our duty and gathering up the rays of light. The admonition of our text is to walk in harmony with God's holy law. By obeying it, we can form characters that will enable us to stand. Should we reject the advanced light that God is now giving us, we shall be left in darkness. It is the love for souls that brought me from my distant home in America. Had I not a special message, I should have remained at home, for it is not pleasant to journey from place to place and endure the hardships of traveling. I dare not to choose my own pleasure, but to follow the light from heaven, and I must give it to the people. The end of all things is at hand, and as the people are trampling on the law of God, they must be warned of their transgression. John, in looking down through time, saw a remnant that would be gathered from the world, who would be in harmony with the precepts of Jehovah, and he exclaims, Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Revelation 14, verse 12. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. Revelation 11, verse 19. What was it that the ark contained? It was the law of God that points out our duty. John saw the people's attention called to those 10 precepts, and as the light is seen, we shall be held responsible if we reject it. God's truth is being revealed to men, but in this age, there are many false teachers who turn away the ears of the people from the commandments of God. But we should inquire, what is truth? What does the Word say? And our anxiety should be, what can I do to save souls? There is great value attached to the souls of men for whom Christ died, and if we neglect to receive and impart the knowledge given, we are doing it at the peril of our lives. Obedience to the will of God will involve a cross. Christ says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." Matthew 10, verse 34. And we find that the truth for this age, if lived out, will set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Verses 35-36. Christ will soon come the second time in power and great glory, not as he appeared the first time, when he wept over Jerusalem as the western sun was about to set. Christ was a sun and a light to that people, but that light was about to be withdrawn because of the stubbornness of those whom Christ had come to redeem. The disciples expected to see Jesus rejoice over the city as he approached it. But what a disappointment when they saw his anguish of soul and his tears, and heard his broken utterances as he spoke these solemn words, "If thou hadst known, even thou, the things which belong unto thy peace." Luke 19, verse 42. Here was a nation that was to be let go for their iniquity. One soul is of great value. But what is that to compare with a whole nation that was about to be cast off because they would not receive the light? This is what brought tears from the Son of God. Christ well knew the result of rejecting light. He could look forward and see the strong armies of the earth encompassing that once favored city and the destruction of its inhabitants. What more could Christ have done for his vineyard? Why did not Jerusalem know what was for her good? Christ had knocked at the door of their hearts, but they refused the offered mercy. There is a boundary to the mercy of God, for he does not always strive with men. A record is kept of all the blessings offered and how those blessings are treated. And if we neglect our duty, we shall soon see, as did the Jews, that the anger of God is not withheld. But we shall be given over to the power of Satan. While it seems astonishing to us that the Jews rejected Christ, we ourselves will act out the same thing if we refuse the light for this time. The message now due to this world will continue till the close of time, and it will shine to all parts of the earth. Moral darkness has covered the earth like a pall of death, and it will continue to darken as the light is rejected. As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew 24, verse 37 to 39. Now there is no sin in eating and drinking, but in the excess. The blessing of food has been turned to a curse by intemperate habits, and this we find in our own day. The same evils of intemperance engross the mind so that spiritual blessings are not discernible. We must put away every hindrance to our spiritual growth. When this is done, then the true light will shine. It is the humble ones that God accepts. When Christ came from his home in glory, he did not go to the talented and great men of the earth to choose teachers, for he knew he could not educate such ones. He selected poor fishermen as his companions and scholars. To these he gave lessons of instruction that would fit them for their future duties, and these lessons are recorded in the Word of God and will have their weight until the end of time. Judas was not such a learner as was John. He did not let the lessons given have a sanctifying influence on his heart. His natural disposition was not brought under discipline, and it finally led to the betrayal of Christ. But John not only learned the lessons, but put them in practice. And after the death of his master, when assailed by the enemies of truth, he stood firmly upon the principles which he had learned. Christ did not long remain silent in the grave, for a beloved angel came and rolled back the stone, and Jesus walked forth from the tomb in triumph. After his ascent to his Father, he revealed himself again to his disciples. After this, those that crucified Christ were astonished to see the boldness of the disciples and to hear the excellent instruction that they gave to the people, knowing them to be ignorant men. But they had been with Jesus and had learned of him. These lessons of the apostles are handed down to us, and when we connect with God, the light given to the apostles will be imparted to us. We must have more of God's goodness and more of heaven. We must work for eternity. Christ's coming is near, and we want to be like him, for we want to see him as he is. He will not come as the man of sorrows, to be insulted and derided. But in place of the old kingly robe, he will wear a robe so white as no fuller's soap can whiten. In place of a crown of thorns, he will have a crown within a crown, and his countenance will shine brighter than the noonday sun. Shall we then be acknowledged of him? Shall we be cleansed and made immortal? If so, now is the time to form the character and put on robes of righteousness. Now we are to make peace with God by doing his commandments, and that will ensure us an entrance in through the gates into the city. I look forward to the city of God with great joy. In my girlhood, light shone upon my pathway, and the glory of heaven was open before me. I gave myself to Christ, and it is a pleasure to serve him. No earthly attractions shall eclipse my mind from my duty to serve God. If the curtains of heaven could be rolled back and we could see the glories therein, this world would have no charms for us. Thank God, strength will be imparted to every soul that will put his trust in God. God, help us to overcome, that we may receive the crown of life that is in store for the faithful, is my prayer.